verses 24 to 26. We're going to open with that scripture at this point in time. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, message today in our Body Life series, message number 6, entitled Run. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning of verse 24, Do you not know? Do you not know? I'll tell you what, let's read this together. Will you join with me when you find it there? Those of you that have it. Here we go. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Our bodies can run, can't they? Or at least they used to be able to. But running is far from easy. And running, do you realize we intentionally stress the body? The inertial force of weight on our feet, knees, and hips and spine is tremendous. The demand for oxygen in our muscles taxes the heart and the lungs. The digestive system slows down to concentrate needed energy consumption in muscles rather than in digestion. The muscles themselves release stores of glycogen to fuel the extreme and strenuous movements. The heat that's built up during increased metabolism is carried by the blood to the capillaries beneath the skin, where it's released in perspiration. Our bodies can run, but it's far from easy. As I contemplated this and was looking up scriptures having to do with this topic, I asked myself, why do people do that? Why do they run? And I came up with three reasons. Number one is fear. They run away in fear. A second reason is fitness. They run along for fitness. And I think a third reason, and the one we're going to focus most on today, is finish. They run toward in competition, the finish line. So fear, fitness, and finish, I think are three motivating factors for running. You know, I used to run when I was younger, mostly to try and stay in shape. I'm not a runner, by the way. My stature kind of precluded me from having much natural talent in either sprints or distance. But I did run in one race in my life. I ran a 5K race years ago. I'd become pretty good friends with my principal. His name was Ken. And he was a runner. Tall guy, lanky guy, and he talked me into training and then competing with him in this 5K run. By the way, I actually finished fourth place in my age bracket. Thank you very much. But that's a fact which loses all respectability when I tell you there were only four in my age bracket. So I got to be honest. But I remember during that race, I remember feeling, well, let's see, what's the word? Awful, I think. Awful, that'd be the word, yeah. I was feeling awful. Now, in my part of Ohio, the geography, of course, is largely flat. Some of you have been there. There's very few hills around. And I had never been on this particular 5K course before, but I'd been told that most of the course was flat, like the surrounding countryside, until the last mile. There was this one hill. It was long, high, and steep. And as I plodded along my course, I'm looking ahead, and all of a sudden, this torturous hill comes into view. It loomed just larger and steeper with every stride. So I started to mentally prepare for this hill. And I'm getting myself all psyched up, prepared to assault this hill. And as I hit the base and started up, I leaned forward and I ascended stride after stride. I was feeling pretty good. And I felt like when I got toward the top, I think I went faster up the hill than I had been going the preceding half mile. And I remember just before I coming up over the top, I was, yeah, all right. Now, I made a mistake though. My mistake was that I had mentally been so focused on that hill that I forgot that there was another 3/4 mile to go after the hill. And I hadn't really even thought about that. I mean, I hadn't mentally prepared myself for that. And that was a big mistake. You see, the hill was not the finish line. And I lost focus on the finish line because of this one obstacle in my path, that hill along the way. So I crested the hill, and then it kind of hit me, and I just sort of dragged my carcass that last three-quarter mile of that race. I did find enough energy for a modest kick the last 100 yards or so, but I was gone way back at the crest of that hill. I forgot the finish line. You don't want to forget the finish line, do you? You know, that simple true story has a lot to do with why God uses run in the Bible so frequently. It illustrates the Christian life in some way. Now, we had walk before. This is a little different aspect of it. But in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, folks, there is a finish line. There's a finish line. There's a goal. There's a purpose. There's an end game in life, just like in a race. In the Christian life, you're not running away in fear. You're not running along for fitness. It's about finish. You're running toward. You're running for. And it's the race that I believe that every single one of you and every single human being that's ever walked the thin crust of this planet was made to run. But make no mistake about it, it can involve stress, it can involve difficulty as we war against the world, our own flesh, and against the God of this world, Satan. There are obstacles. There are hills along the course of our run. And I'll tell you what, we need to be mentally prepared for those obstacles, mentally, spiritually, truth prepared, but always, always without losing vision for the finish line. So I'd ask you, if you claim the name of Christ this morning, here at the beginning, do you know your finish line? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten your finish line? You know, God communicates to us very clearly in His Word what that finish line is, what that goal and purpose is. We don't have to figure that out. What we do need to figure out, and this is so tough for us to do, what we do need to figure out as individuals is this simple phrase: life is not about you. That's really hard for us to get our mind around. It's not about finding yourself. It's not about actualizing yourself. It's not about promoting yourself. It's not about becoming all that you can be yourself. And if that is, and I think sometimes that's people's motivation to, quote, try Jesus, to come to Jesus, you know, because He'll give me a better life. He'll make things easier for me or more successful for me. But if that's your motivation to come to Jesus, you're on the wrong course. Those are all tickets on the train to self-annihilation, not to self-actualization. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and we find ourselves. We find ourselves when we lose ourselves in Christ. He's the race. Luke 9:23-25, he said this, then Jesus said to them all, if what, church? Anyone, I love that, anyone, this is for everybody, anyone would come after me, he what? He must. So it's open to anyone, but he must deny himself and take up what? His cross, how often? Every day, daily, and follow me. Did you do that this morning? Did you wake up and have the true realization that, wow, I need to take up my cross, die to myself, and give myself away to Jesus Christ and to His image bearers today? That's not often our mindset when we roll out of the bed in the morning, is it? It's a daily thing. And he goes on. He says, because here's the deal. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That's that self-actualization thing. You want to live this life for yourself, you lose. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self, his very soul? Folks, the race is this. Jesus is the goal. He's the finish line. You run this race called life for him. And if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that's the race, if you believe that you're on this journey to find and promote yourself in life, then the first thing I would advise you to do is to repent and to change the way you're thinking there. Because you have the horrible destiny of running the wrong race toward the wrong finish line. You never want to lose focus on the finish line. Not your finish line. The world will tell you you can run any race you want, whatever it is for you, relativity and all that. Your race. But I'm talking about the finish line. Jesus Christ. You don't want to ever lose sight of that. There's only one finish line for you and for everyone. His name is Jesus. But what about Jesus? You know, you say, okay, yeah, I'm inspired. I'm going to go out and run my race for Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the finish line is this. Let's detail that down just a bit. It is one of self-sacrifice, just as we've heard in his words. Acts 20, 24, 23, actually, in 24. This is recorded by the pen of Dr. Luke, spoken to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Paul spoke thus. He's on his way to Jerusalem at this time, I believe. And he said, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. See, Paul had lots of hills in his race, didn't he? He had lots of obstacles. But he says, okay, that's kind of the reality on this side. However, now here's his mindset. What's the next three words? Consider my life. That's ekosuke in the Greek. I hold my soul in this fashion, he says. I consider my life, I hold my soul worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race. The King James says, finish the race with joy and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The finish line is self-sacrifice. You know, in Romans 1, he described himself this way, as set apart for the gospel of God. Romans 15, Paul said, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:12, we put up with, what's the next word? Well, I didn't put it up there, I'm just reading it to you. We put up with anything, he said, rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. See, Paul, in running his race, testifying to the gospel, he never let the obstacles cause him to lose focus on the finish line. And that finish line is Jesus Christ and self-sacrifice. It's the denial, self-denial. It's the cross of Christ. Because we serve a God that gives himself away. When we're willing to do that, to serve, to give ourselves away in a very intimate and relational sense in discipleship, we manifest the character and nature of God. That's the finish line. How do you live that? How do you do that? How do selfish human beings like you and I live that out? This self-sacrifice, self-giving nature of God. How can anyone live self-sacrificially giving themselves away? Well, next point on your outline. Every one of these, you see, starts with finish line, because this message, if you haven't figured out, is about the finish line. Okay? Finish line, finish line, finish line, finish line. There's a source. We have a source of energy and power that transforms us so we can run that race. Isaiah 40, 27, you know this passage well. God is speaking through the pen of Isaiah to the nation of Israel. He calls them Jacob here. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? Listen to their complaint. Listen to it. This sounds so much like me sometimes. What's the first two words? My way. What's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th and 9th word? My cause. My way, my cause. My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Does that sound like you sometimes? Why are you doing this to me? See, we lose sight of that self-sacrifice finish line. We hit the hill, and we're trying to beat the hill, and we forget the finish line. And when the hill's hard, We get discouraged. I don't like the hill. My way, my cause. And in verse 28, I just love the way the Lord speaks. It's just awesome. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He does what? Verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases what? We're talking about two things here, power and strength. There's a source to run that self-sacrificial race that emulates the character and nature of God. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who do what? Hope in the Lord. I got great news. You stay tuned for this little word right here, hope in the Lord, because it's a dandy. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings as eagles. They'll run. There it is. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That word for hope, okay, we're talking about strength and power here. God's strength and power, where does that go? To those who hope in the Lord. What's the word hope? It's kavah in the Hebrew, and it means, it's such a beautiful word picture. It means to bind together by twisting. It's like a rope. It's like a rope. How do you run the race of the Christian life toward the finish line of self-sacrifice so that God is glorified, the self-giving? That's the glory of God, that he gives himself away. Here's what you do. You hope in the Lord. In other words, you twist your soul real tight, together, intimately snug with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when your life is twisted with his, you'll be focused on his finish line. You'll be transformed to the only finish line that matters. And you'll have his source of strength and power and joy to finish that race. But how? How do you do that? How do you maintain that kind of focus? That makes sense to me. You know, hope in the Lord, strength, power, twist my soul with him. I know that he is with me every second of the day. His attention's always on me, though sometimes my attention's not always on him, and I lose the focus of the finish line. So how do I maintain that focus? Well, when you run a race, what do? You got to kind of strip down, don't you? Did you know that the ancient Greeks, when they ran in their Olympics way back when, they used to run naked? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying you do that. Well, I am saying that spiritually, again, in a way. Runners today, they practically run naked, don't they? I mean, their clothing's sparse, or it's real tight fitting if it's cold out and expensive. But anyway, when you run, you don't take other stuff with you. You're running to reach the finish. The finish is what matters. This is not a way to transport stuff. You're trying to get to the finish line, not to keep other stuff with you. So I give you Hebrews 12:1, a passage you know. This point on your outline is finish line, unhindered and unentangled. You ready? Got your pen set? Because you're going to learn a couple new Greek terms here that are just beautifully awesome. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, after the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, therefore, because all this that I've just said, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses like those that you just read about in Hebrews 11, let us throw off everything that what? That hinders. That word is ankos. It means a mass, as bending or bulging by a load. You throw that stuff off. It's a burden. Ankos. And the sin. So you throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily what? Entangles. You're going to like this, especially if you like the UP. Because it's Uper Istatas is how that word is pronounced. Uper Istatas. It's a cool word because the EU, the U part, means good or well. Para, you've seen that prefix in the Greek before. Para pateo, to tread around. This is para statas. Para means around, like a periscope. We talked about that just a while back. And then statas means to stand. Think of static, something that stays in one place. So the picture here, when he says the sin that so easily entangles, is your picture, you're running along, you're thinking about the finish line, and then, ooh, there's something shiny. I think I'll stop and check that out. He says you can't do that. No matter how, quote, good that thing looks, what are you thinking about? The finish line. Not about this bright and shiny thing alongside the road that the world puts out there. I think of, what was the Pilgrim's Progress? Remember, Pilgrim's heading along, and he had to go through what? Vanity Fair. All sorts of distractions and all sorts of things that guaranteed fun and pleasure and entertainment. So many times I do stuff that are very distracting, but what we do as Christians, we measure, oh, is there anything bad in it? Is there a bad part in that movie? No. Okay. So I'll just be distracted because it's good. It's good. That's what he's talking about here. Good standing around. We got a lot of good Christians standing around, not running a race, because they're too busy doing good things along the side of the course that really, when you consider the finish line, aren't good at all. They're just distracted. Eucharistatos, good standing around. Throw off everything that hinders, that the mass, don't lug that stuff with you, and the sin that so easily makes you stand around. Folks, listen, we are the body of Christ, right? The body of Jesus. Why is it that everything else in our life sometimes is a priority to us except the body of Christ? You know, we can't miss, sometimes it seems to me, and maybe this is just my perspective, but we can't miss a million other things, but we'll miss out on the body of Jesus for a million other things. I wonder sometimes if everybody that called this church their home church were here on the same Sunday, if we could fit us in here. Because I don't think we could. It kind of reminds me, too, of the tortoise and the hare, you know. The hare stopped and stood around all along that race, didn't he? He was overconfident. And the tortoise says, "You're going down." Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles, and let us run with, what's the word? Perseverance. Sometimes that's translated patience. The Greek word is hupomene, I should say. We've seen this one before, too. It literally means to stay under. It means you keep going. You stay under the stress of that run because you got one thing on your mind, the finish line. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Why? Why not stop and enjoy the good things? Why not carry a few things with me as I run in life? Why not? Because of the finish line. Because of the finish line, Jer. And also because of the next point in your outline, there's a reward. Finish line, reward. Paul writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's about to have his life ended at the command of Emperor Nero, by a Roman sword severing his head from his body. And Paul knows it's coming. He can see the finish line just ahead for his race. And he writes to young Timothy, his son in the faith, 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, "Timothy, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." And he brings us into it. Not only to me, but also to all who have what? Longed for his appearing. Do you long for his appearing? Do you really believe that the trinkets and trash of this world are worth the investment of your soul compared to Christ and his coming? You know, as you look at your race this morning, at your life, if that's what your race reveals, that, you know what, I think some of the seems to me that some of this other worldly stuff, to me, is as good or better than Jesus as I look at it. Carrying all sorts of hindrances. Stopping to listen to all the great things that this world has to say. or for all the great things that this world has to offer. Listen, here's the problem with that. Running that kind of race diminishes the glory and the majesty and the satisfaction that Jesus and only Jesus has to offer. But, you know, there are options out there, right, as to what race. There are a lot of races we can run. A lot of options out there what race you can run. I mean, Jesus talked about a broad road and a narrow road, didn't he? The broad road, you pretty much run toward any finish line you want to. That's why it's used a broad road. You can run anywhere and do anything. And everybody will pat you on the back along the way. You can carry as much junk along as you want. You can stop and enjoy any amount of entertainment, pleasure, and distractions along the way. But that's not the narrow road. Last point in your outline is just that. Finish line, options. We're not the only ones running a race out there. Lots of options. People all over the world are running, and they're running frantically after many, many things. But in light of the fact that we have a triune relation, listen, in light of the fact that we have a triune relational God whose glory, I wish John Piper would unpack this a little more when he talks about, you know, delighting in God for the glory of God. I always, and maybe he does in some of his books I haven't read, but to unpack that as the glory of God is the fact that he gives himself away, that he reveals himself so thoroughly to us. So if that's his glory, this triune relational God whose glory is to give himself away in order to invite us to dance with him, according to John 17, in light of the fact that we were designed in his image to image him in stewardship, in creativity, in business, in discovery, in marriage, in parenting, in relationships, in self-sacrifice, in light of the fact that this God gave himself away to raise us from our God-dead state and make us alive to him again, in light of the fact that Jesus is going to rule and reign one day, and that every knee bows to confess that he is Lord. In light of these things and more, I say to you, yes, there are lots of other races that the world encourages us and even insists that we run. It's just that there's really only one true race that we were made to run, and that God will enable us to run with him. The self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ is our finish line. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. We saw this passage not that long ago. It's another familiar one to you, but listen to it from this angle of run. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, "Hey, don't worry," saying, "Oh, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? I don't have anything to wear. What are we going to do about that? Run, run, run." And I read it to you that way because that's kind of the way it's expressed, because Jesus' next words, he said, the pagans run after all these things. That word for run after is epizeteo. Zeteo means to pursue, but epa increases it to franticness. The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But instead of that, seek, pursue this. Pursue first, and that word is zeteo. It's pursue, but it misses the franticness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. You can trust him for that. So, folks, if you run the wrong race, you're going to be fraught with worry. There's no reward for that race. It's fraught with deception. You know, I saw this video. I was going to play it for you as a point here in this. But it was of a race in Japan, I think it was. And if you've ever watched any YouTube videos of Japan where they're narrated by a sportscaster, have you ever? Yeah, maybe not. You know, they're speaking Japanese, and they're kind of frantic. So it shows these guys, and they're in their kick. They're coming down the end, right down the street. It's like the Boston Marathon in Tokyo or something. And there's like six guys, and this guy's in the lead, and he is legging it out, and these guys are like crazy trying to catch him. And he's coming up, the finish line's right ahead, and there's this street that goes this way. Now, there are people lining this. I mean, thousands of people. They're lining this, and they're on the corner to this street on both sides. This guy's running along, the guy in the lead, and he turns down that street. And then he gets down there about 10 or 15 yards and realizes, oh, the finish line's over there. So he turns back around, and by that time he gets back on the street. He's in third place, and he loses. He loses the race because he lost track of the finish line. It's the funniest thing. You should have heard that announcer when he saw that. Didn't understand a word he said, but boy, was he going crazy about it. You don't want to run the wrong race. If you do, at best, your reward is only in this life. But if you run with Christ as your finish line to His glory, and by glory I mean the way that God gives Himself away to you and I, in His Word, in this creation, in each other, in Christ. If you run for that glory, that self-sacrifice finish line, you know what? You're going to win that race because Christ already won it for you. And your reward will encompass both time and eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I fall so far short of this. But I'm going to take my eyes off of me, because I always fall short when I put my eyes on myself, my race, my need, my whatever. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, the finish line, He endured the cross. And when His race was done, He sat down at the right hand of You, Father. You know, the high priest that entered the Holy of Holies once a year to offer the sacrifice of atonement there, he never sat down, because that work was never done for him. He was going to be back next year to carry the sin, his own sin, debt, the blood, and then the sin of the people before the mercy seat. But when Jesus offered His blood and rose victorious over sin and death, He went into Your presence, God and Father, and He sat down. Because He gave Himself away. Father, there's a lot of stuff out there that is under the label of Christian. I talked to a little girl from Russia not too long ago that her idea of coming here in this country was she understood this to be a, quote, Christian nation. Father, inspire in us the desire, by Your Spirit, by Your Word, to glorify the Lord Jesus. First of all, by receiving from Him what You freely gave, Lord, Your life, Your death, and Your resurrection. And then having received that by faith, to live that out in the power and strength that You provide, so that people see Jesus in the Church of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.